Welcome to the Midnight Writers Podcast, helping authors become better writers.
Episode 20, interview with Paul Well. This is John.
This is Lena.
And we have with us special guest, Paul Well, again.
Hello again.
So thank you for coming out and spending these few episodes with us. It's been fun and enlightening.
Thank you guys for having me, you know, putting up with me and all that.
So you said you've been writing since 2007?
First book published, yes.
So how long have you been writing for?
Forever. So I actually was recently going through some stuff that my mother handed me a couple years back, and I found some stuff that I had written somewhere around the second grade. It was awful. But it was inspired at the time, I'm sure. So I think I've been writing most of my life. I wrote for a long time, apparently. I don't remember that. And then it turned into game mastering and storytelling around the table, and that was kind of my outlet. And as those things are wont to do, that faded for a while because of schedules and colleges and moves and all those things. And so I got back into the actual writing, and now I do both because, again, I'm insane.
Can't have an episode without you saying that.
I just want to make sure everybody knows.
So what do you do as a day job then? Are you a full-time author or do you have real life?
One day, maybe. That's the goal. I have a pay-the-bills job. I do data analysis and report generation for Level 3 Communications.
So. I've heard of them.
You know, it's amazing how many people haven't, even though they connect pretty much everything on the Earth. There are other connections out there, but they're one of the biggest.
So then you work, I'm guessing, 8-hour-ish plus days. And then, So when do you find time to write?
Well, my job is such that I run a lot of queries, and so I have, you know, 15 minutes here and there while things are processing that if I'm not doing something else at the same time, which happens a lot, I can squeeze things in at the office occasionally.
So then are you trying to push for slower servers at your office?
Amazingly, no. It's funny because I occasionally get away with doing some writing at the office, but really I would prefer to just work while I'm there and then go home when the work is done and write. But typically I go home after my work day and say hi to everybody and kind of chat everybody up for a couple of minutes and grab something to eat. And then I sort of disappear into my office until midnight-ish. And I'm doing any number of things down there. It could be writing or editing or rewriting or handling emails and things, correspondence with the publisher or stuff like that. You know, a lot of different stuff goes on, but I try to eke out at least a couple of hours every day to just write.
That's a good plan.
It's not always easy, but try.
So what kind of program do you use to write? You're a Scrivener person or?
No, I'm pretty much as basic as they come. I have a Mac and I use Pages because, well, for a couple of reasons. One, it's included, so
that's always a good sign.
That's a bonus. Yep. And then the other piece of that is it syncs across all of my different devices, and I'm sort of tapped into the Apple ecosystem, so it works really well for me. But that said, like before that, I just wrote in Word. I could just as happily write in Google Docs or whatever, except it's kind of laggy sometimes.
I've actually lost an entire story in Google Docs.
All right, lesson learned. I won't be using that software.
It happened once. I don't know why, because they save constantly. But
right.
I was writing for 2 hours, 3 hours, that entire short story written out, and all of a sudden, it had some errors that it had to reload, and it reloaded, and the story's gone.
Just
not on my account at
kaput.
All.
Kaput. That's awesome. Kind of like getting hit in the face with a frying pan is awesome. Not good. We did have one time, like I one of the role-playing games I'm working on, I had a shared Pages document with the guy I'm working with, and we had a hiccup in there somewhere where it ended up backtracking to a previous version, you know, we end up losing a whole bunch of like little technical changes we made to the game, you know, like damage numbers and things, like stuff that was actually really difficult to go track down and put back the way we wanted it, and stuff that we'd like, you know, we go back and forth for an hour about something. It's like, okay, we finally make a decision and we make a change. And, you know, this is all over IM because we both have our lives. And, you know, then the next day you go back and look and it's like, what did we change? I knew we changed that. What did we change it to? And what decision did we come to? And it's just gone. So I've had one hiccup with that. A hiccup. Freud was right. Anyway, that's the only issue I've ever had with Pages, and that was just because it was a shared document. My wife is signaling that she's going to give me what for in a few minutes.
No hooking up.
It's true. I meant with her, if that helps any.
So I know we were talking earlier about there's a project that you're working with somebody else on.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about working with somebody? Because, you know, there's always tales of, you know, like somebody like won't pull their weight, or there's communication errors, you don't disagree on something. Like, how do you work with somebody else?
What works for us is yelling, pizza, and beer. And I don't drink, so. typically, like, Chris is his name. So Chris will come over to the house when we're working on the game. And, you know, we're usually together for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours at a stretch or whatever. Whatever it takes to get the job done. You know, a lot of things we just agree on and go, and that's always nice. But a lot of times there are, you know, differences of opinion that need to be hashed out. And we go back and forth and we do some shouting and we, you know, do a lot of referential lookups and, you know, pull gaming books off shelves and, you know, dig through things and, you know, throw them at each other. you know, and then we have some pizza and then we have a drink and then we sit down and then calmly review what we've talked about and sort of come to a decision. It's not an easy process, and it's not for everybody, and it may not even be the best process, but it works.
That's nice. Yeah. I had an experience with working with somebody, and the other person just didn't care. After a while, you know, at first it was good, but then the steam just went out. And
I think that may be as much a result of, like, that process, right? It's off-putting.
Yeah.
And if your heart's not in it, or your heart's not in it enough to go through that process to come out the other side, then a lot of people won't go there. And the other thing is, you know, I have a really interesting view on the world. I'm never interested in assigning blame or pointing a finger. Like, I care about the end product. Yeah. And I care about the relationships. And so, like, Chris is kind of the same mindset, and I think he's coming around to that. He's young yet. You know, he's in his late 20s, early 30s. I'm in my 40s. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but there you go. but, like, and this is a conversation I had with him just the other day, because he's been sick and he's planning a trip, and so he's been very busy and you know, bedridden, and, you know, so he hasn't been around a lot while we're going through a lot of the edits and revisions with the publisher for the role-playing game. And the other day he kind of was apologizing, and it's like, it's okay, Chris. I understand. You know, life is life. You know, I'm still working on this, and the only way we're going to have a problem is if you come to me later and say you're upset that I went ahead and did all this while you were out of the picture. And he's totally understands that, and he's totally cool with it. So he says. We will see. I think he's fine. But I think at the end of the day, what it is you have to be willing to go through all of that heartache and still be friends. Like, when we leave at the end of the day, there's a handshake and a, hey, man, thanks for coming, and we're doing good things here, and, you know, we're both of the opinion that we're going somewhere constructive and our relationship is not in danger, even though we disagree a lot and loudly. You know, that is not a statement of our relationship, and it can't be. So you have to be able to be in that mindset to be able to do that collaborative work, I think.
Oh, cool. So you have any upcoming projects coming up?
Yes. Next question.
Sorry. Easy answer. Once you're not very talkative. Huh?
Sound bites. Ching! I'm working on an urban fantasy that is getting interesting feedback from initial alpha reads, which I don't usually do, by the way. But I like this project occurred to me, it hammered me in the head one night at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting, but I'm working on this other thing. And I couldn't get back to sleep. And this is only a couple of times this has happened to me before. So I just sat up and I whipped out the iPad and I did a little bit of world building and jotted down some notes of the stuff that was swirling around in my head. And, you know, it was like, okay, done. I can set that aside for a minute and I can finish other projects before I go back and look at it. And I set it down and tried to go back to sleep and I still couldn't. And so then I picked up the iPad again and like 2-3 o'clock in the morning comes around and I've written 2,000 or 3,000 words of it already. And it just hasn't stopped since. So I just hit 80,000 yesterday or the day before, and I think I'm a month and a half or 2 months in on that project. So there's that, which apparently is going to be written no matter what I say. and I'm rewriting and editing what's going to be 2, maybe 3 more books for the Caligor Sol Space universe. And I'm working on a couple of other projects with, some co-writers that I've worked through some forums with for a number of years and have got to know through con appearances and things. And so we're working on some projects together there. And then, like I say, the company is looking at picking up a couple of those pieces and, some other work from another author. So lots going on, in addition to the role-playing game and other things that I think we've discussed earlier. So, yes.
Sounds like a lot.
Yes. Plus, you know, 2 teenage kids, wife, dogs, in-laws, house, exploding, things like that. So, general life stuff.
These things sounds different.
Wait, it didn't explode. It was backing it. We had the main sewer pipe replaced. Sorry. So, yeah, life.
Different kinds of explosions.
Right.
Yeah. So, who's your favorite author?
Yes.
Yes.
Next question.
Haven't heard of them.
What books have they written?
All of them. I don't know. I have a hard time with that question. It's like, what's your favorite musical note? You know, it doesn't.
Okay, who are authors that you really enjoy reading?
It doesn't make sense. I read a lot. I've been working on the Dresden Files. That's it, right? Dresden Files.
Yeah.
the Dresden books. So I'm really enjoying Jim Butcher. And it's like he's getting better and better the more I read. And I don't know if it's just that he's maturing or the characters and the world are maturing or both. But I'm really liking those. Before that, I was reading Kevin Anderson's Saga of Seven Sons, which is really fun. Timothy Zahn is another favorite that I like to read. A lot of his Star Wars books and stuff. I don't know that I've ever read anything out of the Star Wars universe from him. And then I read a lot of independent folks and local folks. And I spend a lot of time on like Wattpad and DeviantArt and stuff trying to kind of patronize, not bad way, like, you know, support, patronize. You know, budding authors that are writing stories and fan fictions and things like that. And, you know, I just read kind of whatever I can, whenever I can, because my time is limited and whatever I can fit in. But really, I don't know that I have a favorite. I just, you know, I read mostly in science fiction and fantasy, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, I've read all the Dresden Files. I think I've read all of Butcher's books, I think. So...
Yeah, I'm not that far along yet. I'm new to the party.
Heck, I started it 2 days ago.
There you go.
Hey. See,
newer than me.
Yep.
I've got my sister to go through. She's on book 5 right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just finished book 10, I think, Small Favor is. So it's starting to get really, really, really good.
Yeah, it really starts escalating quickly.
I'm getting that sense. Yeah.
So who's the one person that you would say has been key to the success of your writing career?
That's a loaded question. My wife.
Well said.
Brownie points.
Well, that's, I mean, it's funny kind of, but it's true to some respect at least. Like, you know, she enables me to go disappear into my office after I come home from work and am seen for half an hour and then not be seen again until 6 o'clock the next morning, really. You know, that's huge to be able to have that, right? And then from a business and writerly standpoint, you know, I've, like Peter Wax is one of the local authors who's actually been moving on to some really impressive things lately. And Kevin Anderson, I've had a bunch of conversations with him and, you know, David Boop and Kevin Eikenberry and like all these local guys, you know, you just, they're very energizing and uplifting to be around. And they're all very supportive of one another and the local up and comers and wannabes and hope to bees. And, it's a very supportive community. And I think that I wouldn't be as far along as I am if it hadn't been for all of that. But I have sat down with guys like Peter Wax and had him look at my stuff and offer professional level feedback. And that is invaluable. And it's also uplifting. I mean, it can be harsh, but you need that. You know?
Yeah, you need to grow.
Yeah. So he's been very, very supportive of my work and my other projects and how diversified I've tried to be. And so there's a lot of people that have really enabled my growth, hopefully. Hopefully I'm growing. But yeah, thanks are due a lot of different directions.
Cool. All right, so where can we find you online?
You can find me and all of my books at kalajor.com. That's KALIJOR.com. You can search for my name or that word, Kalajor, on Amazon or any of the other big booksellers, and I'm all over those places as well. I think that's pretty much all you need to find me. I have Dead Tree format and ebook format, and I just acquired some audio gear, so I will be making a break into audiobook format here soon.
That's interesting.
And of course, I can do everything myself, so I will be doing that from start to finish. Hopefully it's not a horrible failure, and we'll see what happens.
It might cut into your writing time, though.
It will undoubtedly cut into a lot of time for other things. You know, it's just one more thing, right?
So, one last question for you.
Okay.
What is the strangest thing that you've had to Google for your book research?
The strangest thing? Oh, goodness. I don't know. I've Googled some weird stuff. I'm in the butcher camp, but every once in a while I just type, hello, NSA. I have done a lot of research. For my book, Aegis Protocol, I did a lot of research into DNA retroviruses and genetic engineering and the sorts of things that can happen, both like that we know about and have theorized about happening when you start fiddling with genetic information. I have a scene in that book where the main character essentially melts on the floor of his living room because of exposure to some retroviral stuff. And so looking into that was kind of interesting because not only is it a new science, but it's a fairly icky science when you get down to the results, right? Because it all sounds well and good. Like, oh, yeah, you just decompile this sequence in a computer and tweak a couple of things, and then you just compile it and plug it back in, and it's all good, right? And it's like, well no, that's not how that works. What happens when you fiddle with that is you get a puddle of amino acids on the floor that's semi-conscious and in pain. So lots of different things. So I had this is kind of a sequitur. So I had a conversation once when I was at school down in Pueblo with a guy who was in the computer animation lab, because that's what I was studying at the time, is computer animation. And this guy had been there like every Saturday for 5,000 years. Like as long as I've been there, the guy was there every Saturday. And I had no idea who it was. He was just this guy in the lab, and he was arting over there, and I was arting over here. And, you know, it's like, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? You know. It's like the wolf and the dog at the old cartoons. Like, hey, Bill. Hey, Sam. And then one day I'm having a conversation with him, and it turns out that this is Todd McFarlane of comic book fame. because we were talking about comic book art, and I had mentioned a Spider-Man book that I was reading that was one of his, and he's like, yeah, that one was particularly troubling. And it's like, what? You know, and so then I finally figured out who this dude was. And so anyway, the conversation leaned towards research for parts and things. And what he said is something that I've never forgotten to this day. And it was, you know, when you're a comic book artist or a comic book writer, you aren't just a comic book artist or a comic book writer. You're not just a storyteller. Like, you need to be an expert on so many things, because if Spider-Man's fighting Rhino and one of them picks up a 57 Chevy Bel Air and throws it at the other one, and it gets smashed, torn to pieces, exploded, whatever, and the back transaxle, I think it's a back thing. Anyway, so the axle comes out, and the drivetrain comes out, and the transmission comes out. Well, there are people who read comics that know what those things look like in a 57 Chevy Bel Air. And if you don't illustrate them properly, you're going to hear about it, right? And so you have to do the research to figure out, what does that look like? What is under the hood of that car? What is, you know, what all builds that thing so that when I break it on screen and smash it to pieces, it looks like it's supposed to and like it would. So, yeah, a lot of weird things get Googled as a result. So there's that.
Okay. Well, it's been a great time to have you these few episodes.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Look forward to it.
Thanks much.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this content, sign up for our newsletter on our website, midnightwriterssociety.com, where you'll get a lot more great information. See you next Wednesday.